the end of John chapter 14, has just left the upper room. He's had the Last Supper. He's on his way to be betrayed. And he makes the final of his seven I am statements in John by saying, I am the true vine, and my Father's the gardener. He's about to go and die. His disciples are going to get thrown into turmoil. And what he says on his way there is, I'm the true vine. God's the vine dresser. And in verse 5, he tells us we're the branches. But he says he's the true vine. Not just a vine, but the true vine. And the Old Testament imagery of a vine is used to describe Israel. So in places like Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5, Israel's described as a vine. And it's an image they quite like. Because in the temple in Jerusalem, they stuck a big gold vine on it. And people came every year and attached big bunch of grapes, gold grapes to it. They quite like the idea of a vine. But Jesus comes and he says, I'm the true vine. I think part of the reason the Jews were so keen on the imagery of a vine is because they're people who are very concerned with their lineage. They're very passionate about where they come from. So in Matthew 3 and verse 7, speaking of John the Baptist, it says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. John the Baptist convinced that their argument and defense in not repentance, repenting is going to be, but we're related to Abraham. He's our father. That's where we all stem from. It's where the nation of Israel comes from. In John 8 and verse 31, it says, so the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Then Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you've heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I've heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. I find it fascinating. How committed they are to their lineage. They're going, Abraham's my dad. Abraham's the father. It's evidenced somewhat in Paul in Philippians chapter 3. When Paul's talking about the reasons he would have to have confidence in the flesh, he says he's a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin, Jacob's son. Born probably 1800 years before Paul ever existed. Yet Paul knows which tribe he belongs to, where he comes from, what his lineage is, because it gives him status in a Jewish context. If you're a son of Abraham, you're a Jew. You've been born into something. And Jesus says in Luke 19:9, having gone to Zacchaeus, stayed in his home, Zacchaeus has got up, repented, said he's going to give four times as much back. Luke 19 and verse 9, Jesus says to him, today salvation's come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's a really controversial statement. Because Zacchaeus is a tax collector. He's a scumbag as far as Jews are concerned. He's the lowest of the low. And Jesus gets up and says, he's a son of Abraham. And Jews who are committed to their lineage always are pointing back to something. I'm this person. I'm related to so and so. And Jesus comes and says, I'm the true vine. Israel's not the vine. I'm delighted that that's his statement this morning. Because it doesn't matter what family I was born into, where I grew up, who I do or don't know, and how far I can trace my family history back. I have been grafted in to the vine this morning because Jesus is the true vine. That is a delight for me. But it's not really what I want to talk to you about. Jesus says he's the vine and we're the branches. Here's what I want to say as clearly as I can this morning. Christ is the source of everything in your life. Christ is the source of everything in your life. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing. Without him, nothing. Colossians 1:15 puts it like this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's the Jesus we've come to. There's nothing without him. And whatever is sustained by him. Everything's being held together through him. It's a good place for your source to be. It's a great place for your source to be. All of your needs are met in Christ. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." 2 Peter 1:1 says, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." I love that verse. I'm just going to check. It's not my alarm going off. I love that verse. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. All of your needs are met in Christ. There's absolutely nothing you need this morning that he won't supply. Let me say it further. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. So Colossians 3:1 says, "Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." That's staggering, isn't it? Christ is my life. In Galatians 2, verse 20, Paul writes, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ is my life. Able to meet all of my needs. Without whom nothing exists. And I wonder sometimes if we're actually ever seeing him like that. He's not just a vehicle by which I'm saved. He isn't just my savior. He's my life. He's not the person I come to meet with here. He's the one who sustains my life day in and day out. He isn't just somebody I spend 15 minutes with in the morning. Without him, there is nothing. Nothing. And I wonder, if we get that right, I wonder if we get that right. Because I think sometimes actually the reality is we don't. I'm not sure. I often live from a place where Christ is my life. Christ is my life. I don't know a great deal about horticulture, as most of you are aware. So I was doing some research. If more than 25% of any trunk is damaged on any type of tree or vine, nothing can survive. More than 25%. Apparently up to 25%, you can maybe save it. But after that point, it's dead. Every branch above it starves to death. And Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. I'm going to be the source of everything you need in life. Anything you need is going to flow from me to you. Whatever it is. Growth is going to be a consequence of me, not you. I'm the vine. Everything that allows your life to function, all that your aspirations might be, they only exist because of him. And yet, I think I find myself sometimes trying Jesus in a list of other things. There's some situations going on. There's some stuff I need to happen in my life. There's some stuff that's not. And Jesus is on the list. He's part of the... I mean, I'm going to go to him, but I might try some other sources as well, just to see what happens. I'll probably prioritize my own thinking. Maybe it's just me. I'll probably prioritize what I think first. And then I might discuss it with some other people. And I might seek out some experts. Can I urge you, go to the source. Go to the source. In verse 5, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm going to tell you how I've interpreted this over my life and urge you not to do the same. Because in truth, the way I've probably interpreted this is like Jesus is the lonely kid, and so I invite him into things out of pity. Like, I can't do anything without him. Okay, God. So I'm going to do my thing and say, Jesus, come along. Jesus, this is what we're doing today. Jesus, this is what I'm planning. Bless me. Maybe it's me. But the truth is that I'm inviting Jesus often into things in order to tick the box that says, apart from him, I can do nothing. But actually, I can do most of the things I'm doing without him because I'm doing them anyway. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want to live in a place where actually I recognize in my life day in, day out, I don't get up this morning apart from Christ. I do not inhale or exhale outside of him. I go nowhere and do nothing without him. Not this tag along to my life that goes, ah, apart from him, I can do nothing. Come on in, Jesus. See, God, I'm a good person. I've invited Jesus into my stuff. Which in truth is often the game we're playing. Everything I need for a godly life. Everything I need. I don't feel like he's asking a lot of me when he gives me everything I need. This changes my perspective on some things. Because actually this is a lot less difficult if I understand I've been given everything I need through my knowledge of him who called me by his own glory and goodness. Suddenly some things are a lot less difficult. Because I'm not wondering if I can or if I will. I am confident. I am in the vine. The source of all things. And everything I need. Everything I need is in him. And when Jesus teaches on worry, that includes food and clothing, a home. This isn't just some spiritual, oh. Jesus is committed to meeting your practical needs as much as your spiritual ones. I want to live from that place. Where Christ is my life. Where I'm not trying to work out his place in some things. This is my Christian-y stuff. This is when I do that. And I involve Jesus in the Christian-y stuff. No, he's my life. He's my life. And whether I'm here, at home, in work, sat on a bus, using a toilet. I'm sustained by him. He is still my life. Whatever I do and wherever I go, everything that is because of him. Everything that I can see is because of him. I think that's good. And we're going to spend some time thinking about John 15 over the next few weeks. And what Jesus had to say. But I want to establish this thing with you. The source of absolutely everything for you is the vine as a branch. The source of absolutely everything is the vine. I don't need anything in addition to him. We often, in expressing sentiment, say, I can't live without. I can't live without. And some of us had to walk the painful journey of learning to live without some people we thought we couldn't live without. And there's some people I don't ever want to live without. But I can't live without him. I can't live without him. Nobody can. If he sustains all things, whether they love him or hate him, they can't live without him. Whether they're a fan of what he's got to say or they loathe his very existence, they only exist because of him. And they won't survive without him. And his vine is not based on if you were born in the right setting or belonging to the right family. John 6, verse 35, says, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Everyone who looks at the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. That's the will of God. But whoever comes to him will never go hungry. And whoever believes in him will never be thirsty. I want to appropriately acknowledge my source. I hope I'm a blessing to you. I hope I enrich your lives, but I will never be your source. Trust me, you don't want that. I have a family who love me dearly, and I love them, but they're not the source for my life. Whoever's phoning Brian is not the source of his life. Work. My vocation. My hobbies. The things I love. The things I get excited about. It's not it. Christ is my source. And everything I need is in him. And everything is held together by him. He is my life. And a proper perspective on that, I believe, will transform yours. A proper perspective on that will transform your life. Because I believe that too many of us think Jesus is an optional addition. And some of us don't think he's optional, but we do think he's an addition. That we've included him into our lives. You don't exist without him. And you might have had to recognize who he is. But I want to be in a place where Christ is my life. Should we stand together and worship?
No.